And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio. Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Detroit Lions football post-bye week edition. Hello, Mike.
Post-bye. We worked last week.
barely. We didn't have much to do. Pretty uneventful week as bye weeks go. You know, sometimes during bye week, somebody's cut, a trade happens, a big declaration of where they're going. It was really pretty copacetic, I would say, this last week, don't you think?
Copacetic. Wow, that's an old man's word.
That's right.
I used to hear that when I was a kid, just to tell you how old it is. You know, but Kenny, you know, you're right about that. And the one thing we wanted to know in the bye week, what was Dan Campbell and his staff, what were they going to do about the defense? And we won't be able to know until Sunday, really. I will get some hints tomorrow in the first open practice to the media, and it's not open for very long. But I think that's basically what all of us want to know. What are they going to do different on defense?
Yeah, but the thing that bothers me, and I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to change this around. Let me ask you this question. 1 to 100 is the percentage. Percentage okay. of the reason why they're 1-4 now, is it players to everything else? I'll say the actual playing and players to everything else. Where would you rate it in terms of 1 to 100?
I'd say the players are really in my heart and soul. I think they're 100% because they play the game. But I'd say 75% players, probably, something like that.
I'm going to go 35% management. And I'm not saying coaching exclusively, but just the way the team was set up this year, the things they could have accomplished and they didn't with drafting and free agency and coaching. That's all I say. That's 35% of the problem we have now. And 65%, the players just aren't playing good enough right now, or they may not be good enough. They're either not playing good enough or they're not good enough. But if they play better, they'd at least be 2-3 now, maybe even 3-2.
Well, I'd agree with that. So we're pretty close. I mean, my 75% to your 65% for the players. And that leaves, you know, in mind 25% for other people. But I don't disagree with you. Look, I'm going to use this line again, Kenny, and someday I'm going to bury it. But it's like the players are never, it's never their fault. I used to go way back to, you know, the Wayne Font days when everything was Wayne Font's fault. And the players, well, it was like they got on a plane and it crashed and they had nothing to do with it. They weren't flying the plane. No, you've got everything to do with it.
Yeah, and that's the one, like that Minnesota game to me. They blamed Campbell for the kick and going for the field goal and not whatever, going for it on fourth, whatever. But this is the talk show Detroit thing and all, you know, stuff. And I never heard afterward, you know, you can stop them even if you missed the field goal. You can stop them from scoring. So they never blamed anybody else except for the coach for that. And that's where I had a problem with that. So
it's not against the rules to play defense.
Yeah.
That's why you're out there.
You can stop them. It's easy to do.
I don't think Anthony Glenn, or I'm sorry, Anthony. I don't think Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell and the rest of that staff in that Minnesota game designed a play for the receiver to get wide open on consecutive plays. I don't think they drew it up that way.
Yeah.
Hey, make sure you watch him when he's going into the end zone.
Right.
No.
Right.
I don't think so.
Well, we'll give up the touchdown, but we won't give up a field goal. I mean, but they weren't saying that. They were like, just play, you know? And I said at the time that game wasn't a big game and they could overcome that, but I got a feeling the way this season's going to go, it's going to come back. That game's going to come back to haunt them somewhere or another down the line. I don't know why I got that feeling. I hope I'm wrong, but either in the division or something, that giveaway at the end of the season's going to come, because I don't think the Lions are done yet. And I'm trying to explain stuff to the rational people that are listening to this podcast, that the season doesn't start after the 8th game. I'm sorry. You can be out of it.
You can
put yourself out of it, but the actual season – starts after the 8 games. Because if you don't play well in those last 9 games, you're not doing anything, even if you started out 6-2 or 5-3 or whatever. If you don't play good in those last part of the season, you're not doing anything anyway. So to me, the season, if you stay close in the first 8 games where you're not totally out of it, the last 9 games are going to decide what kind of team you are this year. And I think that's what this team should be thinking about.
But you also have to be in position to be participating fully in those last 9
games. Right, that's what I said. If you don't put yourself out in the first 8.
Right, and they're on the verge of putting themselves out. And look,
3-5 is not out. I'm just, well, I don't want them to be 3-5, but 3-5 is not. To me, 2-6, 1-7. You've dug yourself a hole. You're not getting out of. But anything other than that, those last nine, Mike. I'm telling you, those. Think about this in the way we're talking too. 9 more games after 8. You know, it's a 17-game season. And everybody thinks right. That one game doesn't mean anything. That's still 9 more games after 8.
It means a lot more than you think of it.
Yes.
Than you think it does, because you have fewer teams at 500 because it's a 17-game season.
Right.
That's part of it. Here's another thing. Let me just go back in time, and I'm going to bring this out of the old Mike O'Hara history novel or whatever you want to. 1983, and I'll never forget this, the Lions get to 3-5. At the 8-game mark, that's the halfway mark, and I wrote that the opportunity's there for them to make the playoffs, because the old NFC Central was, you know, somebody was like 5 or maybe 5-3, but there was nobody running away with it. And I wrote, they're in it. Well, they lose the next game to get to 3-6. But Kenny, they go on a streak and they finish 9-7, make the playoffs, and they're a missed field goal away from going to the NFC Championship game. But that was a good team with good players, with Billy Sims and those guys and Doug English on defense. It was a really good team that finally played up to its level in the last 8 games of the season, really the last 7 games.
And you have
there's an opportunity. Yeah, it's like, and there's an opportunity for this team to do that too.
Yeah, but you had one player that could drag a franchise then, and I don't see that player on the last night.
Billy
Sims, who you could just mount your franchise on. I mean, personality-wise as well as playing-wise, he was just like the magnet of that team. You don't have that guy now on this team. There's no one guy on this team that just pulls everything together, offensively or defensively. And me and you have been talking. We've been trying to say they need a defensive player like that for the last 2 or 3 years, and they don't have it yet. We thought Hutchinson might be able to one day be that player, but we'll see. But until they get that defensive player that just is lights out, they're always going to be a struggle defensively. Everything's going to have to be perfect for them to, you know, to put up a good performance.
Right. Well, that's why guys like Von Miller change, you know, later in their careers, they change teams every season and a half.
Right.
Because they have what they have is value.
Right.
I mean, absolute value. He's not out there to get a garbage tackle on 3rd and 15. He's out there on 3rd and 3 to knock the quarterback silly. That's what, and he does it. It's exactly what he does.
Well, that goes to, I was watching Thibodeau and the Giants Sunday.
Kayvon Thibodeau,
a game-changing play. He hadn't done anything all day. He had like 2 tackles. But he made the game-changing play at the end where he stripped the ball from Lamar Jackson. And that's the type of player you want. And that's the type of player you have. Now, y'all know, I remember I had wanted Thibodeau, and I didn't have a problem with Hutchinson. I thought Thibodeau would eventually be the better player. But I'm just saying, the game-changing plays are what you want, and I want to see that out of Hutchinson. I think it's in there. You just got to get it out of him.
Well, Kenny, I don't disagree with you, by the way, on Thibodeau. I really don't. I was really high on him. I don't know. I don't remember right now if I was still on him at the end. But. That's what you need. You need a guy. You need a home run hitter. You need a stopper. You need a closer. Lions don't have a closer. They have too many openers.
Yeah, right.
Closers.
Right. It's like a 7-Eleven. You ever walk in a 7-Eleven and look at the door and wondering why it's no lock on it? Because it's always open. You don't need to lock the door because it's always open. And that's what they got to get through.
When the center for the other team gets over the ball and starts singing, "Let's go Krogering."
Right. Now, some things that did happen over the thing. One that I'm upset about is Levi Onwuzurike had back surgery, which I thought he should have had it earlier. Because if he got
trying to get him through the season,
yeah, but if he got hurt on the first padded practice, and with the same injury that he had last year, they should have deemed it right then. And I don't know. It didn't. You were there. I don't know. It didn't sound great. Usually they'll say, "Yeah, they'll fix him up and he'll be good as new and ready to go next year." I didn't hear that from them. So I don't know what type of back injury it was. I hope it's not a career ender, because I went back and looked at some tape pre-draft of him, and he's one of the missing pieces you have now. Just look at the way Quentin Williams playing. I'm not saying he's Quentin Williams, so don't start writing me. But look at the way Quentin Williams is playing for the Jets now, the New York Jets.
Stop talking about him.
Well, I'm just saying. A guy who can disrupt inside, even if he's not Quentin Williams, That's what they drafted him to do, and that's what they're missing right there.
Okay, you can say all you want about the edge rushers, but if you've got a guy in the middle and he can get in quarterback's chops, it changes the game. It changes the way the quarterback plays. It really does.
I wonder why they don't try McNeil more at that disruptor spot and just get a big plug and put him on the other side. Because it seems to me the initial plan was McNeil was going to be the plug to take the double teams, whatever, and the guy next to him was going to be the disruptor. But he's fluid enough, and I would like to see him over there if they can just get somebody else on the other side. Bugs and those guys aren't really big. I mean, I want to just put a big guy in there.
Isaiah Bugs talked to the media yesterday. Yesterday was Monday, and I didn't realize how thickly built he is. I mean, that is one powerful dude. It really is. And then Kaminsky's probably coming back. You know, he had a nice start to the season, got hurt in the opening game, played 27 snaps. The reason I know that, I just looked it up. Played 27 snaps, had a quarterback hit, and really was a powerful force on the interior before hurting his hand. But I think, you know, cross your fingers, Lion fans, I think that he's going to be available for the Dallas game now. I think he's missed four games, so I think it's time for him to come back. Now, we'll see. You never know what's going to happen in practice if a guy's going to aggravate something, but it looks good for him.
Well, I think the defensive problems, and if you can solve one of the three levels, and the level to me being the line part, it'll make up for the other two. There's some deficiencies in linebacker. We all know that. And now with Tracy Walker out, there's some deficiencies in the defensive backfield. There always were, even beforehand. But if you get heat and line play and get that quarterback off his spot, that'll help the whole defense. So to me, the key to this next whatever number of games is the defensive line. I don't care how you want to fix it, but it's got to be fixed.
Well, I think, you know, Kenny, there's seasons on this next three games. It really is. I mean, where they're going to, you know, what sort of impact they're going to have on the rest of the season comes in, what will be a result of what they do in the next three games. But you're right about that, about the defense. I mean, somewhere, and I think it starts up front. I mean, if you can, it's hard to wreak havoc at cornerback, you know, and free safety and like that. But it's not, if you've got the right player and the right temperament and the right tempo and all that, you can really do that.
Yeah. And like I said,
it's up front to me. It really is.
It could be one player that steps up. And like I said, you got second. To me, your second year, your rookies or whatever, there's always a breakout. And sometimes it doesn't come. Sometimes it comes in the third year. Sometimes it comes in the middle of a year. But those younger players, and I see that for Hutchinson too. I guarantee. I may come back. This may come back to haunt me. I guarantee that light's going to come on for him in the next few weeks. Because he's doing a lot. He just ain't getting not getting the stats out of it. But I like what he's doing. I like the way I've watched Thibodeau, I've watched Walker, and I've watched the young guys. And I was looking at the game Monday night, the Chargers game. Khalil Mack only had like four sacks his rookie year. You mean to tell me you wouldn't take him any year after that, or even that year? So,
well, I'm going to look up, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to look up that statistic to make sure you're right.
No, they were talking about it last night. They were talking about it last night. That, you know, he didn't have a big sack number his first year. And to me, pressure and stuff, I just like the way Hutchinson plays, and I think that he'll be okay. I want to see Josh Pascoe get some time because this second-round Lions pick stuff has got to stop where they not getting any production out of second-round picks. The Onsarike thing, that was injury. You can't, you know, that just happened. You can't go back on that. But there's been a littering of bad second-round picks by injury or just not being good for as long as you can, you know, put your arm up. Matter of fact, Swift is probably the best one they've had in 8 years, you know. And he doesn't play half the time. So.
Oh, Swift, you know, I thought you were talking about our former cornerback when you said Swift.
Oh, no, Slay. Slay, well, that's the last. Slay. That goes back 10 years, though. That's what I'm saying, the last 8 years. You know, it's been that bad. So I want to see him play. If he fails, then I'm going to put a motion in after this season that they're never picking a second round again, trade the pick. if he fails, I will be sending that to the league office in December that we will never, the Lions are never allowed to pick in the second round again. Their pick must be traded.
Let's keep track of this tape. Let's keep track of this tape, okay?
A couple other things that I saw going forward. He talked yesterday about Romeo Okwara coming back sometime this year. That's a big loss that nobody's talking about because if you got him in the rotation of pass rushers, that helps that D-line too. And that's been a missing piece.
10 quarterback sacks 2 years ago, and last year he was headed to another, you know, pretty good season. You don't know how he's going to close, but he got hurt in the fourth game of the season and was done for the year. Same as Frank Ragnow, you know, yeah. Pro Bowl All-Pro center.
Yeah.
I mean, God, just the injuries that this team has sustained, and to good players.
Yeah.
I mean, good players. You go back and look. You know how hard it is to get 10 sacks in the National Football League? I mean, there are guys who get up there in the 20s. I get that. But just to get double digits, it's hard to do.
Yes, it is. And then, plus, that frees up other guys, too, when you got somebody who's one on the other side. So that's a big loss. I hope we can get him back, like I said, by that 8-game mark, 9-game. That's what my Jameson Williams point is, too. If you can get him back for the last 9 games, you know, mid-season. You don't think so?
Nope, I don't. Because you don't hear his name mentioned at all. It's just sort of, you know, he's working hard and stuff like that. But until we have a projection where he comes back for the three-week trial period, then
I got a feeling they had a date for him the whole time and they're not changing. I just think that, because I watched the videos of him on Instagram, his working out videos and whatever, and, you know, I can't tell if he's an injured player on there, but I just think that there was no way in the world he was coming back before a certain period, no matter what he did, and I think they're sticking to that. That's just me. That's my impression of what's going on. So I do think it will be after that 8th game. I put it like this. If OBJ is close to coming back and OBJ had an ACL after Jameson Williams and he's already looking at teams to sign with and comes back and he's older, his second ACL, Jameson Williams had the ACL, not the worst ACL, but one of the better ones if you're going to have it. He should be coming back before OBJ. And right now it doesn't look that way.
You're right. It doesn't look that way for a reason. Yeah, but I just think I think they'll bring him back when he's ready to come back. A day sooner, right. Not a day later.
But I think they've had a date for him the whole time, and they haven't changed it. I just think that they already know.
I disagree with they wouldn't change it, but I just think that I think there's a date there, a projected date, but it's fluid. I don't think it's set in stone.
Which is the smart thing to do if you got a rookie and you want him for a long time. Right. And like I said, right now you don't need a receiver. It'd be nice to have, but you don't need it. You got other things going. Fix the other part of the team.
And one other thing about that, I mean, we can say, well, why bring him back for the last 5 or 6 games? Like, it's 5 or 6 games of development.
Yeah,
that's why.
That's exactly right. Practicing during the week, preparing for games.
Plus, you're paying him.
Yeah. Right. And plus, people want to see him. I was watching Sauce Gardner for the Jets over the holiday. Number 4 pick.
Boy, what a player.
See, That's a number 4 pick, and that was too high for me to take a corner then, like I said, Okuda. But I never seen that from Okuda. I see a good player. I don't see that pick right there is a top 10 corner. I haven't seen that yet from Jeff Okuda.
I've seen top 10 in the league.
Yeah, top 10 in the league. That's a top 10 corner. That draft pick, I mean, by top 10. A top 10 pick. If you're gonna pick a corner, that's a top 5, a top 10 pick. I haven't seen that from Okuda yet.
No, I haven't either, but Sauce Gardner hasn't had 2 season-ending injuries either.
No, but I'm even talking about the first season when Okuda was here. Think about this. The first 5 games with Sauce Gardner, we had those 5 games with Okuda before he got hurt. Big difference. As rookies, I'm saying. Big difference.
Well, obviously, he's played on primetime TV and he's done well. And we'll see how it works out.
Well, wasn't I know? I'm just saying he's.
I'm losing.
He's a better
Kenny,
player.
I'm losing it. Hold it.
He's a better player.
I'm losing enthusiasm for evaluating Okuda every other week.
I'm not evaluating him, but I'm just letting you know.
Every time the
San Diego Chargers quarterback or Tua comes on TV, I just want to let you know that I will be commenting. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, what are you going to say about Tua this week, then? Go ahead.
I'm just saying if he plays, then
What do you have to say?
Yeah, I can't help it if his offensive line won't be protected. Out there getting ran around like a bean bag. That's not my fault.
So they were great when he had the 6 touchdown passes in the opener?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Right.
So we know.
We'll move on.
Thank you.
L.A. Rams. Josh Akers, I guess, has been told to stay home and is going to be traded or going to be released.
Cam Akers.
I'm sorry, Josh. Akers. Do we want a running back here? Play with golf? Play with Rams?
I haven't seen a thing out of him that gives me any.
Well, he doesn't play. You can't see nothing out of him.
Well, I've seen him play, though. I saw him play in the playoffs last year. And what do you have, 20 carries for 40 yards, something like that? I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, if he's cut, though, would you pick him up? Because you have third in the lotto there.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, let it
I
go.
Just, it's less than you already have. I'd rather play Craig Reynolds. I really would.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on to until we've had the off week, and that's pretty much all the off week stuff that we talk about. We'll know
Kenny,
later.
You're just dying for me to argue on that.
No, I'm not going to argue about it. Like, it's just a play. Look, there haven't been a lot of cuts this year yet. That's why, you know, when your Lions are bad, you hope guys get cut because you're top in the, you know, in the order of picking. And they haven't had any of these cuts yet to pick up better players. So I'm thinking the next couple of weeks, there are going to be some veterans getting released, and you have opportunities to pick them up. So I'm just, you know, just putting names out there. I think you can improve some of your roster. What if a good safety or a corner gets released? You know, then that's something you would want to pick up.
Well, then I wonder if he's a good safety or corner if he gets released. But the one thing, I don't know if we're seeing the effects of this or not, but the 16-player practice squad.
Yeah.
There's a half a full roster out there in the National Football League.
No, you're right.
Every team.
Yeah, you're right.
So I just wonder if that has like Jared Davis, seventh year. You know, 3 years ago, he never would have been eligible for the practice squad because it was 3 years and out or 2 years and out. That was it. And now we've got guys in there 6, 7 years. They had an 11-year vet, I think it was, last year hanging on.
Yeah. And put him on the active roster.
Jared, I would.
Put him on the active roster and let him chase that quarterback around. Come on. Guys, you got a 7-year veteran.
Just, you know what? Close your eyes and swing. Give everything you got. I guarantee he'd make contact at least once.
Yeah, I hear all this other stuff. It's not
guaranteed.
Like, it's not like you know putting Lawrence Taylor on the bench or cutting him or whatever to put him on. They're basically all the same. Put a guy with some experience, and you know he can do one thing. He's physical and can run. So put him on the field. I'm all for that.
The only part of it is we really haven't seen him play, so we're going on what we think.
Well, we saw him in preseason.
Well, yeah.
Okay, we saw him. We just see him. He made it out there without a handicapped parking spot. I mean, at least you know he can. He's okay.
Well, I'm glad he didn't have a handicapped parking spot because that's the decider.
That's the decider.
If they don't have one, up on Sunday.
Well, we got Dallas this week. Not a good game to come back to. I mean, when you want to come off
really,
a break,
yeah.
You want to play the worst team in the league or something just to get some confidence up. I'm going to add this, though. The Patriot loss doesn't look as bad seeing what they did to Cleveland this last weekend in Cleveland.
So the loss to the Patriots
at home, to their home, doesn't look as bad. I mean, it looks bad, but evidently, Brooke Zappi was better than everybody thought, and Belichick can coach. Okay, so.
Oh, Belichick can coach.
Yeah. So that loss.
What do you make of Belichick, though, not going to a Kraft's wedding, even though he was invited? And Brady did.
Yeah, he had a job to do. Unlike Brady, who had a job to do and didn't do it. Because, like I said, if you make the move not to blow off practice or blow off meetings to go to a wedding of a team you're not on anymore, you better win that game on Sunday. And you better play good.
Didn't.
And he didn't either. So, and then he's going to yell at his linemen. They should be yelling at you. You know, you might not have to yell at yourself if you'd have been here Friday.
Right, we couldn't hear you all the way from
but, you know, Brady, Mike, you've been around athletics a long time now. Doesn't Brady remind you of, like, the last days when Muhammad was fighting or, you know, Al Kaline's last season or just different great players when you know the end is there? They know it, but they have an obligation, and they're just going through the motions to get through the season. This is it for him, and you can see it.
Yeah, I don't think Kaline was going through the motions, but I know
No, I'm not talking about going through the motions, but just you know while you're watching that this is it.
Oh, yeah.
You know it. And you can see Brady now, you know this is it. And trust me, he made it longer than I ever thought, 45 years old, to make it to this point. I give him all the kudos, but this is it.
I don't think let's just put this way. I don't think the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to have a farewell party for him when he retires. I think they've had enough, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, both sides are, okay, that's enough. Well,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say just that I just wish he would go out a little quieter. And I hate to see guys go out and tarnish what they did. And, you know, just.
Well, his personal life is now out there. His wife is being quoted as she wished she never had married him or something like that.
Is that what she said?
Something like that. But my question.
Oh, that was a quote from my wife.
was, you know, did she say that, or did she say it to a friend who repeated it? Or that's what it's coming down to now. And they've hired lawyers.
Yeah, the whole just mess.
He's just a football player,
right? Just a player.
That's all.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, and before we get to the Lions in Dallas, what do you think about Russell Wilson after watching the game Monday night? Was it all where he was, and is it now that he's exposed, or has he lost something? Or I don't know what's going on with Russell Wilson.
I thought he was on a decline with the hand injury and without the hand injury. Watching him play, and they were still a prime TV team, out there in Seattle. Just what I saw, he looked to me like he was past his good days now.
Well, that's a big gamble. That's a $245 million gamble.
Sure is, yeah.
You're going to be paying.
The head coach who took that job thinking he really had something. I go, wait a minute.
He took the job thinking that Aaron Rodgers was coming out there. Remember, that's what the whole deal was. And when
part of it.
He's got a broke-down Russell Wilson, and the price of toilet paper is going up in Walmart, people, so that's just the reason.
Well, really, though, when you go back to Brady, it really makes it all the more remarkable what he did at ages 43, 44, and part of 45. Yeah. Rodgers and Wilson, they're not touching that.
No.
They're not getting there.
But Brady was always good above the neck, and I think the last 10 years was above the neck. He was never the physical bomber, like Josh Allen throw or whatever. He won above the neck, and he was a good athlete and a good thrower of the football. And Russell Wilson was neither. He was short, and he was he moved around in the pocket a lot, and he made good throws. But he was never – when his skills went – it's like Cam Newton. I said it all the time. Once those skills start leaving you, you're not going to have that to fall back on. And when it comes to just going back in the pocket and throwing, which you're going to have to do later in your career –
Kenny, let's look at a younger player in that same regard. I'm a big fan, but Lamar Jackson.
I was just about to say that. And every year it gets a little worse. I think he should have took that money, but I agree with what you're saying, that once that skill of running and moving out goes away, and you're going to have to be forced into that pocket, you better have something. And I still think Lamar Jackson is a very good quarterback, but I just think that upper level thing he hasn't acquired that way to throw yet. He hasn't acquired that I can beat you from the pocket.
Well, he hasn't. And look, they've had the lead in every game they've lost. Every single game they've had the lead in the fourth quarter, and they've lost three of them. And so is it all on him? No, but you're the quarterback. Put it this way, if they're winning, he'd be taking the bows.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we got Dallas this week now, Mike. And just give me a brief overview on what the Lions need to do to win. How you think they'll come out after the bye week, and what the attitude? You've been around the team. You talked to guys in the locker room yesterday. What is the mood of the team, and can Dan Campbell keep the team if they're losing, or is there going to be a point where now they start to question?
I don't know about I don't know that. He talked about he sort of talked about what he calls the buy-in, and we'll see if they have the buy-in. I don't see any indication that they don't have it. Look, you can play a bad football game, but I don't think, for example, the Minnesota game, I don't think you could say, they're not buying in. And that went right down to the wire. The next week against Seattle, 48-45, went right down to the wire. I just think they've had the cast of characters that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell inherited, I think was lesser than they thought, even they thought. I think they thought that they could patch this up quicker. Now they're in it. Go, wait a minute. We got a lot to go. Really, I mean a lot. And so if they stay the course, and by that I mean, he gets third and maybe fourth year as the coach, I think they can do it. But it really is a difficult project. And look, the teams that make the turnaround quickly have the absolute number one franchise quarterback. I like Jared Goff a lot, but I don't put him in that category.
No,
I don't. When you saw that against. You saw that against the Patriots. Once he got, bumped around in the pocket and chased, he wasn't the same guy.
Right.
That's a lot of that. He's not going to get better physically, but he's got to find a way even in his seventh, eighth year in the league, he's got to find a way to deal with that, or it's just not going to happen.
Right. Well, this is my thing, and I've always said it. There comes a point in the season where everything was clicks and then you become that team. And if you remember Barry Sanders' first year, remember they won the five games at the end of the season?
Yep.
They were, what, 2-7 or whatever the record was. Then they won five.
And 2-9.
2-9 and ended up being 7-9. And even the second part, because they finished 6-10 the next year, but the year after, they got hot and moved on. But it always starts with a winning streak where they put it together. And that's the streak I'm looking for this Lions. Now, I don't know what game is going to start, but if they knock out two in a row, I think they'll roll, as long as there's no big injuries. But that's what I think they need to do now. And like I said, they're playing with such thin margins now because they're not deep. And like you said, the talent is good, has to stay healthy. So that's what I'm looking for. But I'll tell you what, I want to see him beat Dallas just so I can see the explosion in Dallas if it's Dak's first game back and he loses. I just want to see that. I don't care about anything else because that'll set Dallas on a tizzy, and then it'll also set you up that you went on the road and beat a good team.
Well, here's one other thing I wonder, and I've never really bought into this, that it's, you know, that if, for example, the Cowboys lose, they're going to be madder, they're going to really play harder. The Cowboys lose and they might lighten up against the Lions. I don't believe that. I don't think one game has anything to do with the next, unless it's an elimination game like in week 14 and your season's over. Then you know, then it can affect the team emotionally. But I don't think the Cowboys are a top tier team. I think they're maybe in the next 6 or 8 or 9 or something like that. I mean, they got handled pretty well Monday night. They really did. It was clearly the eye test who the better team was, even though the quarterback, you know, comes into play there with Prescott not being able to play. But I think the Cowboys can be had Sunday. I'm not predicting it, but I think they can be had.
All I know is Philadelphia is undefeated, and one team was 3 points away from beating them and had a chance to beat them, and that team is playing Dallas this week, and it ain't Dallas. And I'm like saying, Detroit is – I know all the fans are panicking over in the record. And I, like I said, I didn't expect them to win this year. I expect them to be competitive, which they are. I expect them to get better, which I'm seeing on offense. I want to see the defensive players get better. But I'm letting you know right now, there's no great teams out there. If Philly's the great team, they're 3 points better than you. They're three points better than you.
Yeah, let me add something else here. This is in DetroitLions.com. That's our website that I write for. I've got a column in there today. I looked all this up. In the last 10 years, the Detroit Lions in the game after the bye, 7 wins, 2 losses, 1 tie. Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Seven wins, 2 losses, 1 tie. And we know where the tie was, right?
Yeah. That was the game, the Pittsburgh game, wasn't it?
The last year in Pittsburgh, yeah. Game that the Lions had absolutely no business even being competitive in. And that they rallied that team, and the coaching staff and the players and the veterans on that team and the leaders rallied that team, and they went 3-3-1 the last 7 games, which is a remarkable accomplishment for that team. I don't know how many teams in the league would be jumping up and down and saying, hey, we went 3-3-1, but for the Detroit Lions, it was a remarkable finish.
I hear you. All right, Mike, that's going to be it for this week. We'll have a little thing Friday to give our preview of the game. Anything else you want to say before we leave?
Goodbye.
All right. That's Michael here at DetroitLions.com. Ken Brown from WGR Radio. See Frank Ragnow's interview every Monday, 5:30 on AM 760. And for that, we'll see you later on the K&M Podcast.